The following program is a production of All the Way Live Entertainment.
This show is sponsored by APCW Wrestling Academy. Learn wrestling from WWE Hall of Famer Robert Gibson. If you're interested in becoming a professional wrestler, contact them at 770-871-5417 or online at apcwdouglasville@gmail.com. Also, by Collar and Elbow Brand. Save 10% on your next purchase by using our discount code WPNRussell. That's WPNRussell at checkout, and get a discount on great collar and elbow products.
You know, and we all have our 15 minutes of fame, and I'd like to take a couple of my 15 minutes to talk about the rights and the wrongs in the world of professional wrestling.
The WWE Championship.
This match is for the ECW World Heavyweight Championship.
The World Heavyweight Championship.
The match.
It is not that often that I get to talk to someone that wrestling fans might call wrestling the space of evil, but that's potentially who I have on the line with me tonight. She's primarily housed out of the East Coast, but has since spread the dark gospel across the country and internationally even. And we're going to talk about why she's begun to spread that dark shroud over pro wrestling and that and much more. So with me tonight is the Princess of Darkness, Casey Dillon.
That's right, I'm here.
And you know, I want to thank you for at least hanging up the evil hat just momentarily. That's kind of talking to me for a little while.
It is just momentarily, remember that, because I have no time for you people. None.
For mortals or just regular folk, is that what it is?
Whatever you want to label yourself as, useless. I don't care. I just don't have time for you. So get this going. Let's go.
Well, just you know, if you'll be so kind, just tolerate it just for a little while. I mean, you know, I know you have other things to be doing, but just bear with me. I'll do my best. All right.
Fine.
So, you know, I'm going to ask you these questions and just give me the mortal version of it, if you can, because I know that you kind of extend beyond that. So, where are you from originally?
Originally. My first place was Gadsden, Alabama.
Okay. Gadsden, Alabama. Was there some... How can we phase that... entity or force or drive that pushed you towards professional wrestling?
Well, my body, mm-hmm. I am a child of the 80s. So right. when I was growing up, wrestling was in its heyday. Everyone watched wrestling. If you didn't watch wrestling, you were kind of a loser. Mm. So... you know, like everyone else, I watched it and I loved it. But maybe I loved it a lot more than others did. And here we are. I wanted to beat people up, and that's what I do.
Okay. And clearly you must have been trained to do this. Would you like to give some shine on the individual or individuals that took you under their wing to show you the proper way to do what you do?
Absolutely. I was trained in Richmond, Virginia, with a company called Ground Zero Wrestling. Unfortunately, they are no longer a company, but the active participants are still out and about and doing wonderful things in Virginia and all over the country. My main trainer was a man named Dave McLeod. He is well known along the East Coast, had very good style, very strong style type. I also learned from a guy named Pharaoh. He did his rounds with WWE or F back in the day for a little bit. Also had the pleasure of being trained occasionally by Dave and Earl Hebner.
Oh, okay.
As they are Richmond natives, they would come in and train with us and work with us quite often when Earl wasn't with TNA. Also had a little bit mixed training from Renee Michelle, WWE's Mae Young Classic. She was around to train with us some, as well as Mickey James occasionally.
That's a lot of pedigree.
It is a lot, and it was well worth it.
I can imagine that. That's a slew of knowledge that's kind of tossed at you there.
Oh yeah, and it's all different angles with different styles. So sometimes it was a bit of a headache at times, but yeah, that's what this business is.
Well, now, despite that, clearly you found the style that works for you.
I would like to hope so.
Well, I mean, it's always a work in progress, and you're constantly evolving. But I mean, as it stands right now, it seems as if you found what works for you. Now, of course, later on this year, you may pick up 5, 6, 7 more things, you know, and just keep on adding to your toolbox. But it appears, despite the fact that you, as you said, got a lot of training from various different styles and various different people, you've kind of narrowed that down to what you like.
Yes, I did. My style, as some people in Europe refer to it as old school American, I just like to call it more of a southern, old southern wrestling, if you want to put that in parentheses, style. It's brawler status, whatever you want to call it. It fits me. And you don't see it a lot in women's wrestling. Everyone's into doing all the flippy stuff, and you just don't see many hardcore bases anymore, and that's what I try to be.
Okay, fair enough. I hadn't heard it. Well, I guess if you're out of the country, they would refer to it as old school American. So I was gonna say I hadn't really heard it referred to that way, but yeah, I guess that's all in where you're standing in the world. What was your in-ring debut year?
Casey Dillon debuted in 2017, March of 2017.
Okay. You know, it's a good idea. I need to turn this phone down. We don't need my Saturday Night Live text messaging going off here in the background. All right, there we go. And don't worry, folks. I'm going to leave that in because, you know, Mr. Green doesn't mind the mistakes. Anyhow. All right, so we started in March 2017. We are pushing into 2019 now. Have you ever worked under a different persona, or has it always been Casey Dillon?
For the most part, it's always been Casey Dillon. I did a couple of matches really early in my career that wasn't really Casey Dillon just yet.
Okay.
We all have to find ourselves.
Okay.
So
give me the walkthrough. You had a few before you started to find yourself. What changed? What made you feel like this isn't working for me? I think I need to go this route.
One thing that we were kind of informed in that you learned from others in the business is you can be as unique as possible, but you still have to fit into a mold these days. You have to be able to have people enjoy, you know, and not see something that's so new to them that they lose interest. Mm. So my original gimmick was a little more normal, I guess. You know, I tried to do the whole, punk rock, like, you know, anarchist type thing, and it's done by so many people and done well by so many girls, but it just wasn't me. So it was cliche to say, you know, basic, I guess. You know, boring would be a good word to describe it. So we had to end it.
Okay.
And find something that's really unique to me. And I think I did.
So that particular gimmick, the early gimmick, it didn't talk to you?
No, it wasn't me. It didn't feel right. It felt forced. It felt lazy, to tell you the truth. And that's what it was, really. So worked on it, cleaned it up, added to it, took away from it, you know, molded it, shaped it into the Princess of Darkness that we know now.
Now, I have to know, how did we come to that? Were you sitting at home one day and you was looking at a scary movie? It's like, aha, that's it.
Not at all.
No?
If you know my backstory, my backstory is that I was in the Army because I'm a veteran.
Okay.
I was killed in Afghanistan. I was sent to hell. And from there, I started a battle with the devil,
mm-hmm.
and was essentially kicked out of hell. But, you know, we all know there's a Prince of Darkness, but there has to be a Princess of Darkness somewhere. That man ain't down there by himself, chilling.
So Casey Dillon has assumed the title of the Princess of Darkness.
Got to get in where you fit in.
Hey, I'm with you. You know, I think somebody need to make a comic book with you about that. You know, that's not there. I'm just
fair
saying. Cause some of that, you know, yes, we can get a lot of the story inside the ring, but the actual visit to hell, the backstory, the prequel, that's the word I'm looking for, the prequel, if you will. You can't really illustrate that in front of the people necessarily. You might need to get some artwork to recap this biography.
You're right. Could be a good idea. But I'm not here to give people what they want. So.
You know, I was going to ask, do you prefer working heel or babyface? I think you pretty much answered that, so I'm going to skip that one. Would you cite The Undertaker as an influence, or do you have others that you would like to name?
Yeah, you can't not see Casey Dillon and then not see The Undertaker as well. While he is a big influence to my gimmick, there's also more, and I try not to steer Casey Dillon towards The Undertaker just constantly. You know, another big favorite of mine, influence of mine, was Sting. You know, not so much NWO Sting, but Surfer Boy Sting.
Really?
You know, I love Sting. I still love Sting. If I'm watching anything from WCW back in there, even earlier, with the 80s stuff with NWA and et cetera, I still pop when I see Sting coming on.
Oh, really?
I
would not have guessed that. I would have figured Crow Sting would be more of an influence, but you actually like spiky haired Surfer Sting.
Well, yeah, I mean, how could you not like him? You know, and then other influences were Stone Cold as well. I get a lot of my brawler style, like the screw you, I'm just here to take over this place, pay me and I'm out of here type attitude that Austin had. And, you know, he was a huge influence. So if you combine all them along with my with Chyna, you know, my favorite female wrestler ever, rest her soul. And so you combine those four weird combinations, and that's, you know, my influence.
Okay. Now, that's something I didn't know there. I mean, within all of that, there is a small ray of sunshine, and his name is Surfer Sting. So, how about that?
Hey, you gotta have a little bit of hope in there occasionally.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, look, I've had the opportunity to go check him out live back in the day, and that was some fun stuff. So I guess, quick side note, what would be your, if we're going to look at the Surface Thing version of life, what feud kind of captivated your attention of his?
His charisma, you know.
No, I mean, the man, like, you know, of the feuds that he had during that era, did any one of them catch you, like him versus Rude, him versus Vader, him versus Flair, him versus whoever? I'm missing some right now.
You know, being from the South, being from Alabama, you were in WCW territory.
Yes.
And it wasn't uncommon, obviously it was very common, to see WCW come to town. And one of the favorite feuds that I had between Sting and Ric Flair was always captivating to me. I was there for the last WCW Nitro event when Sting faced Ric Flair in Panama City, Florida.
Oh.
And, yeah, we were frequent visitors down to Florida and always had a condo down there on the beach. And it just so happened that our condo faced the show on the beach. I could see it from the stands. And I talked to my mom. I was still a teenager at the time, barely a teenager, maybe a little bit old. I'm not real sure. I couldn't remember exactly what year it was, but I was able to sneak down there and go watch the show. And, you know, that was a really emotional match for me, because at that point, you know, no one knew where he was going to be.
True.
You know, coming up. And, you know, there was the rumors going around, is he's going to actually make it over to the WWF at the time, or was he going to go to the Indies and do TNA and, you know, just back to the indie world? And of course, when he would go back to the indie world, you know, you knew we weren't going to get to really see him a whole lot, you know?
Yeah.
So that match was really, really emotional for me. But I loved him with Ric Flair. You gotta love anyone with Ric Flair. But to me, those two always had some of the best matches together. Their stories were always great. And, of course, Ric Flair plays the quintessential heel.
That he does.
And, you know, with Sting being the ultimate babyface that he had become at that point, you know, he had done his intermediate, you know, what we call tweeners, and he was full-fledged baby at that point. So it was fantastic.
Yeah, that's okay. I got so Flair and Sting, that is the feud that defined that man for you. I will say that, just as a note of myself, oddly enough, Sting and Vader was probably one of my favorite ones with him. It was brutal as it could possibly be. And I don't know if I had seen Sting go into that mode prior to that. I mean, it was one thing to wrestle Flair. You know, Flair was a wrestling machine, and you know he was going to get a good match with Vader. It seemed like those two guys were just going to beat the crap out of each other for most of the night. Now, I had been at the Omni a couple of times to see them, particularly at Starrcade. I can't remember the year. I want to say 92. The King of Cable Finals came down to Sting and Vader. And also the White Castle of Fear, the strap match, which was just a nasty, nasty match. So, I just wanted to put that out there.
no issues with that. I 100% agree with that. And I think the goal to going in with any Vader match was just to try to walk out. if you could walk out and make it from the ring to the locker room, you had a successful night. May not be a great match, but it'd been a successful night.
That's probably very true. Are you aiming for that somewhere along the lines? Is that the goal that people should set when they step in the ring with Casey Dillon?
You know, God, I hope not. And there's a reason for that. You know, as you know, in the wrestling business, as much as this is going to break kayfabe, we're there to protect each other.
Yes.
And I don't want that reputation ever of being the girl that goes out there and hurts you, because Vader would hurt you.
On occasion, he did.
He would lay those punches in, and, you know, it wasn't uncommon for him to break noses or black eyes. And, you know, while accidents happen, sometimes Vader felt forced sometimes. He felt like he was very short-tempered and was giving out, you know, potatoes, you know, serving them up like he was an old Irishman, you know, back in the 1800s. So, you know, I don't have that reputation. If I could have the reputation of being a great worker like him, oh, absolutely. But I can't. I don't want the other reputation that comes with it.
I understand. And, you know, of course, you know, it's a different era now. You know, back in those days, you know, I got to have my old man moment here. But back in the day, that was a little bit more accepted just because, you know, that was the industry. It wasn't totally... kayfabe wasn't totally phased out, so being capable of scaring people just on your intimidation and presence was still totally acceptable, and part of that was being able to hurt somebody, legit. Today, I don't think you'd have to worry about that.
Well, you know, a fighter's a fighter, but there's a smart fighter and there's a dumb fighter, and, you know, you develop your reputation, especially more so in the indies than that particular circuit where you're working with the same people every night, you know, and every week. On the indies, you know, you're working all over the world. You're going from state to state in the country. A lot of times from a Friday night to a Saturday to a Sunday, you know, across 3 or 4 or 5 different states. And you're working 3 or 4 or 5 different people if you're working a triple threat or a tag team. And you may end up with someone you don't know. And so what you don't want is a bad reputation of being someone that hurts someone just for business purposes, you know?
Yeah.
If somebody thinks that you're going to come in there and hurt them, you know, they're not going to hire you. Even if you need to get stiff with someone, you know, that's something you take out in the ring, but you don't want that reputation. So it's a fickle line, you could say, between wanting to be known as a person that will stiffen up occasionally, but not being known as someone that stiffens up too much, if that makes any sense.
It makes sense. It's fair enough. I mean, unfortunately, we've seen some examples of that recently where somebody decided to get a little cute in the ring, and the other young lady, and shout out to her, Lindsay Snow, had to make an example real quick with a leg lock, and I think, well, actually a heel hook, and teach a lesson not to get cute. But anyway, that's not here nor there. Anybody that's listening and want to see that, I'm sure if you go to her Facebook page, you will see exactly what I'm talking about. That this errant power bomb that shouldn't have happened, and she got up and basically said something about that in the form of a submission. So there we go. You brought up the indies and how you have to work and, you know, deal with different people from one promotion to the next, and sometimes you're traveling around, of course, you know, state to state, maybe not the country, as you just were not all that long ago. How well traveled are you, first off? Let's go with that, because you seem pretty well traveled at this point.
I would like to say that I'm very well traveled. I have wrestled in 27 states now. And then, of course, my UK run recently. I'm doing a second UK run in August, coming up in August. And while the first one was in London, this was going to be in Wales. So it's a combination of two different countries at that point. Also in talks and negotiations to work with a promotion in Scotland and one in Paris at the same time. So trying to get a little bit more of the continent knocked out, you know, while I'm over in Europe this next tour, even possibly Germany. Still working on that one. We're barely at the beginning of talks, but we'll see if something comes about that. But yeah, about 27 or so different states at this point. Last year I put 80 something thousand miles in my car, if that just gives you an idea.
Okay. That's,
yeah.
When you made this jump overseas, how did you hook that up? Did you reach out to them? Did they reach out to you? How did...
So I had planned, honestly, I planned a vacation, just a quick little 4 or 5 day getaway over to the UK. I love traveling, always have. I've been a traveler my whole life.
Okay.
And last year, I took 3 days off of wrestling last year. And one of those was the cancellation. So technically, I only took 2 off the whole time last year. And, you know, wrestling can burn you out, especially when you travel alone probably 95% of the time. So this year in 2019, I was dedicating myself to making sure I take some breaks, you know, just to rest the body, rest the mind, and do something that I wanted to do. So I planned a little trip over to the UK just to go see some areas I haven't seen yet. And a promoter that I worked for in the States asked me if I was interested in working in the UK, that he knew had some friends over there, you know, and I told him possibly, I'd keep it in the back of my mind. And a friend of mine who was supposed to go with me this last time told me he wasn't going to be able to make it. So when he canceled on me, kind of sort of at the last minute, I decided, well, you know, I've got a day to burn. Let's in London. Let's see if we can find some work. And luckily, thank goodness I did. Great company to work for. And I couldn't be more honored to be allowed into that company. So it worked out. Went from a normal vacation to, you know, make a little bit of money while I'm there.
That's cool. And was there any major differences that you found while you were wrestling there, or was just, yeah, it's pretty much all the same?
You know, I think at this point in wrestling and where we are, it's so similar that it wasn't too difficult. The crowd is a little different in what they enjoy seeing. And of course, I worked a triple threat. I worked a girl from England and I worked a girl from Portugal. So there was the typical language barrier with the girl from Portugal, but there was also the language barrier with the girl from England, ironically. Because
really?
Some of the moves that we have one word for here in the States, not the same, you know, in the UK. You know, it's not as bad as, say, going to Japan where, you know, calling a suplex is a hip toss or an arm drag. Mm. So, you know, it's a little, not quite that bad. But, yeah, there was times like, for instance, a Pele kick is called something else over there. Yeah, so that's just the one that came up in our match particularly. So, you know, It's not so different, but then again, it is a little different. The fans are different. The fans want to see, they like seeing wrestling. You know, UK wrestling was known, British wrestling was known to be a lot of mat wrestling.
Okay.
And they still like to see that kind of stuff occasionally. So when you break out a submission move, when you break out a hold, it really gets them going more so than what it does in the States, I would like to think.
All right. So not big difference, but we can use a line from Pulp Fiction. It's the same stuff, but there's just a little different.
Absolutely.
There we go. All right. That sounds that's palatable. We can go with that. I want to veer just to the side for a second, because I do believe there was an incident. How can I put it? Promoters. Let's talk about shady promoters for a second. If I am remembering correctly, were you falsely advertised for a show once? Or something along those lines?
So... Yes, that happens frequently with double bookings or someone just trying to use your name just to help draw a little bit. Not saying that my name is a super, you know, drawing name or anything like that. But if you're referring to a certain promotion in Kentucky, is that where we're going with this?
I believe it was Kentucky. Now, I can't remember the state, but I remember there was somewhat false advertisement, and then B, there was another person that was on the show that was strikingly similar to Casey Dillon.
There you go. We are talking about the promotion in Kentucky. Okay. All right, so I will talk about this.
All right.
I was called in multiple times, or attempted to be called in multiple times, by a company in Kentucky that we will just leave the name out for drama's sake. I've dealt with the drama. I don't want to deal with this drama anymore.
Yeah, let's not call nobody out. Okay, we'll keep it vague.
So this promoter called me, and, you know, she asked me if I would come in and work her, the woman promoter. She had her and her husband own the company, and she wanted me to come in and work her. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a cancellation, and I said, sure, I'm already in that area of the country. I will come down and work with you.
Okay.
And I get there, and the first thing she tells me is she has not worked in 5 years.
Mm.
But yet she's a champion. So, you know, there's bells and whistles going off in my head. And I'm almost, this venue,
mm-hmm.
It was in the middle of summertime. It was about July, August time frame in Kentucky, and 95, 96 degrees, no air conditioning in this building, no fans in this building. Well, either type of fans, no fans that blow air or the idiot fans that blow air either. So it is hot. It is miserable. We do a version of a match. This woman, I'm sorry to say, did not know how to wrestle. And she did not know how to bump. She did not know how to. She poor, bless her heart. We'll leave it at that.
Don't be sorry to say that. Be called out for it.
She does not need to be near a wrestling ring. Sweet girl, do not get me wrong. She was a sweet girl, but the closest thing she needs to be doing in wrestling is valeting at best. So we get through the match. I go over. Now, mind you, I have never been to this promotion in my life. I go over. They put the title on me. I didn't want to be there again. As I was leaving the ring, I threw the title at a security guard standing next to the ring. I was not interested in working there again. I made it clear that I wasn't interested in working there again.
Mm-hmm.
So this would have been, like I said, July, August time frame. Fast forward to December. And, you know, I don't pay attention to these people. I have removed them from social media. I have blocked the promoters from contacting me. I'm just not interested in talking to these people. And someone else, another worker or maybe even a fan, I can't remember who, sent me a picture of their upcoming December show. And it was a fatal four-way, I think, and they had gone out and found this girl who looks nothing like me physically, but who is a bigger girl like myself, and they had put white and black face paint on her to the almost exact copy of myself. And she was immediately handed the title. Now, what I think happened, and it hasn't been confirmed because I never brought it up because there was more drama going on with it. They needed to get rid of the title, and it had been so long since I had been there that they just needed somebody that looked similar to me to pretend to be me and lose. the title and move on to normal everyday activities. I contacted this girl to ask her, you know, why she was willing to do this. Because according to her, she had been in the business for 10 years. Okay. And when I talked to other people about her, you know, they said she had been around for about 10 years, but she had never officially completed training. She had dropped out of training about 8 different occasions over the years. So, you know, she never was fully trained. But she had a completely separate character, one that was nothing like mine until that show. And so I was like, okay, well, maybe that's the reason they need to do this. They're bringing this girl in to fake me so that she could lose the title and it could go amongst their themselves. And then I see in January, they're still using the gimmick. And then they're still using it again in February at this point.
Hmm.
And I was upset about it. And I removed myself officially from ever wanting to be known as, I put an official statement out that I'm no longer with this company and that any likeness of me is not me. Because I did not want fans who, you know, fans see so many different indie wrestlers come in and out of the marketplace that sometimes they can just barely remember certain things. And, you know, I may be that monster with a black and white face paint to them, and they may not be able to remember my name if I've only been there one time. But they see a flyer, and all of a sudden there's a bigger woman again with black and white face paint. That's Casey Dillon. And then, you know, they show up to a show expecting to see me, and they get some, pardon my French, and you can blurt this out if you want, some bullshit Walmart version of me out there. You know? And so... That had me really, really upset. It has divided people in the Kentucky area. Girls that work there, you know, I've got, you know, my friends that work there who, you know, told this girl that she needs to calm down with this, but she continues on. Luckily, it's a crap fed. They don't draw. The ring is horrible. The workers are horrible. They don't pay worth anything. It's one of those just crap promotions that their good old boys are going to work in and let them go out there and pretend to be wrestlers. So if that's what they want to do, let them do it.
Wow. That, I guess, are part of the cons, no pun intended, that exists within the wrestling industry, unfortunately. I'm glad that you clarify that, and just for the sake of covering you and whomever those people may be, or that, you know, I don't want to draw any direct lines to it. I mean, you've done a good job of keeping that nice and kind of open ended, and I will just say now that the only way that is going to be exposed is if they mention it. So that is on them. If it comes up at this point, then you have drawn attention to yourselves. Okay, so, but this, let's call it gimmick infringement for lack of a better term. I mean, that is going a bit far now. As you said, it's one thing to have done it to, you know, let's get the title off of her and kind of move forward, but I mean, you're basically saying that this person has decided just to kind of keep going with it. I mean, have we not had honor amongst the workers any longer?
You know, there's the good old the term I heard the other day. You know, a question I saw by another wrestler that's with Ring of Honor right now, and I saw on his post he said, you know, do the quote unquote, are the boys not protecting the boys anymore? You know, we're not talking about this mess. We're talking about the business in general.
Yeah.
The boys don't look after the boys anymore. And while independent wrestling, I mean, there's thousands of independent wrestlers in this country. And, you know, gimmicks are going to get somewhat copied at times. I mean,
Yeah, true.
In the female wrestling, you know, world, we already see multiple people that do a, you know, mermaid gimmick. We see multiple unicorn gimmicks. We see, you know,
multiple aliens. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I completely agree. But
you know, there's
a big difference between y'all sharing similar gimmicks and then out and out just kind of copying it. Or as you said, producing a Walmart version of it.
Yeah, and to me it's pathetic. And I say that it's pathetic because I put a lot of thought into my backstory of my gimmick. I spent a lot of time thinking about how I wanted to have people perceive me, you know, and while I don't walk around like Casey Dillon every day, per se, in daily life, you know, I worked hard to try to get that, you know, the way I move in the ring, the way my entrance music, you know, there's a lot of time and money went into this. And to have somebody go out there and just try to rip off of it to capitalize on, you know, not so much that I'm famous or anything like that. I'm not saying that I am, you know, by any means. But to try to capitalize on what I have gained and I have worked hard, you know, to get, and then just to try to come in and just essentially take it just because I don't work in that particular area of that crap state anyways. You know, you should, it upsets me. I've went through a lot of yelling, a lot of cussing, a lot of fist throwing over this at this point. But that's the problem with, you know, lack of organization in independent wrestling. You know,
yeah.
Once again, there's nothing you can do about it. The only way that it would be stopped is if I got a one-on-one with her. At the same time, I kind of like my body enough not to want to get into one-on-one with her. So, you know, what can you do?
She's been
told to cut it out by, you know, some female veterans in this business that are very respectable. Mm-hmm. She refuses to listen. So once again, it's just let them play wrestler on their own, and you know, one day they'll realize that they'll never leave that 30-mile radius they're in, and you know.
Well, that is the plus that you have on your side, is that given the backstory of this individual, and we won't go into the name, but given the backstory of her, it's probably very unlikely that she's going to, as you say, leave that 30-mile radius. So, I mean, what can you do about that? Let her have her piece of the pie. I mean, if you go on to sites like Trash Bag Wrestlers and stuff like that, you see lots of imitation gimmicks just across the board. You know, people imitating The Rock and Mankind. I mean, just terrible imitations. But, you know, what are they going to do about it? You know what I mean? And they're not. Those guys aren't going to wrestle any place other than where they're wrestling right then and there.
Yep. And this particular federation and this particular worker, you can actually find quite often on Trash Bag Wrestlers, and there's a reason for it.
Wow.
But even she, not only did she copy the face paint, but her gear is just not real gear. She comes out in cheap, generic gear that you order from a website, from any fresh, and you could tell it's generic stuff. There's no thought. There's nothing put into her craft, and that's what makes it worse to me than anything, is there's no effort put into it. You know, there's that, whatever his name is, the fake Ric Flair guy that goes around, you know, pretending he's Ric Flair.
Oh, and, gosh, God, why is it? Now I can't think of it. It's on the tip.
while it's pathetic and really, you know, to me it would be embarrassing to walk around doing that, at least he puts the effort into it.
Yeah.
But what do they say? you know, imitation is the biggest form of flattery, I guess.
Yeah, Paul Lee.
That's Paul Lee.
Nature Boy Paul Lee. It was he's a pretty polarizing guy. You know, we'll put it that way. I mean, there's people out there that have just grown to accept it, and then there's people that's like, oh, this is terrible. I've never seen the man work, so I can't say one way or the other. But his homage act has kind of grown into a life of his own, and we'll leave it at that. And perhaps this young lady that you speak of, her homage, if we can call it an homage, has kind of grown into a life of his own as well.
I wish her the best of luck.
And I'm sorry that we kind of spent some time on that. I don't want to stay off on that too long. Let's get to some happy stuff. You know, that's
all righty.
And I just felt like that needed to be at least explained just momentarily, if nothing else. But let's get to what it's all about. This is the wrestling career of Casey Dillon, and you have won championships already. And recently, I'm going to assume that your shot at the Shine Nova Championship was probably the largest or the most significant championship match that you've had so far. Is that safe to say?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I've held numerous titles, amongst numerous promotions. Some that, you know, titles that, well, one of them I don't really care too much about. We talked about that a minute ago. But I've held some in some companies I really respect. And I've been given tons of opportunities to wrestle for titles in other companies. But getting to work that show a couple of weekends back against Aja Pereira was something I loved. I loved every minute of it. I had been working quite hard to get into a situation in which I would get a chance to work Aja. I really respect her work. You know, she is a fantastic, fantastic worker. She's a fantastic girl. I mean, I love being around Aja. She's one of those girls that can light up a locker room as soon as she walks in. And, you know, when I was able to get in contact with her and able to set up that opportunity, not only was I wrestling for the Nova title, I was also getting to do this in front of my hometown, in front of my family. So it just made it that much more special to me. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to get the 1-2-3 in that match because Ravonna Zinn came in and got me disqualified while then attacking Aja. I was a little upset about that. You know, Ravonna and I had some words after the match. You know, I was just about to win that title, but you know, yes, by far it was the biggest competition at this point.
Well, you know, I would have figured you and Ravonna would have been on the same page, you know, but I guess her internal hatred just got the better of her, and she just ran out and attacking Aja. It cost you indirectly, so perhaps, if nothing else, that it gives you claim for a rematch. You know, didn't lose out and out. You know, so you know that gives you a good argument for I deserve another shot.
Absolutely, and I think Aja will gladly give me another shot. She's the type that welcomes competition. She thrives off of it, and so I think if I was to get in contact with her again and, you know, pressure her for another title shot, I think she would oblige.
I think she would, and it's funny now that you know, I've seen her roughly since the kickoff of her career, and now she has kind of revolved into the locker room veteran here. So hey, that is for the life. It is the circle of wrestling life.
Absolutely. And she deserves everything that she has right now. She's worked hard. The girl has worked hard for many years. And where she is in her career, I couldn't be happier for her. I love seeing my friends succeed. I love seeing wrestlers in the business succeed. Even if I don't like you personally, I still love to see you succeed. And so it makes me happy every time I go on the Shine Network and, you know, watch her work or go to a show live when I can, when it's, you know, somewhat close to me up in New York. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm very happy for her.
Okay. Now, you know, they say that you learn from people that are better than you, and I'm going to ask, being that you were just in the ring with Aja, would you say that that was the qualifier? Would she be the most, or I guess one of, the most experienced people that you've had the opportunity to work in your career?
No. I have got to step in the ring with LaFisto. I worked with LaFisto up in Pennsylvania at her promotion on my debut there with Rogue Women and Warriors. So, no, I couldn't say that Aja is the most experienced, but she is probably, you know, one of the top five most successful wrestlers I've ever stepped in the ring with in terms of making it with bigger promotions and stuff like that. But don't get me wrong, I learned from every match, whether it's something good or something bad. I learned from every match, and you have to. You can train, but you'll never truly improve your craft until you get away from the people you're training with, until you go out there and you see something different and you experience a different style or just a different way of viewing things. And I feel that most definitely learned something from her. And we had fun doing it, and that's the best part. We both came out safe. It was a good fight. But I learned, and I was happy to have learned from her. And I thanked her multiple times for the opportunity of doing so.
All right. And, you know, since we're on it, shout out to LaFisto, who apparently is coming to the tail end of her career here because of injuries that seemingly have plagued her. I think her knee is finally decided to take its toll. So, was a good luck to LaFisto and what she intends to do from this point out. It is a shame, and it seems like I've been posting a lot of these lately. Just as a sidebar, a lot of retirements and step downs and leaving the business and stuff like that. You don't perceive yourself as getting away from this anytime soon, do you?
No, not soon. Knock on wood, barring any major injuries. But I also know for a fact I won't have a 20-year career like LaFisto did. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit later in life of starting these shenanigans. Mm-hmm. And I came into the business with injuries already from my time as an athlete prior college and then the military. I don't foresee myself having a 20-year career. Mm-hmm. But if I get a solid 10-year career, and I'll be quite content with that. I'm friends with, we'll go back to LaFisto. I'm very good friends with LaFisto. She has been a super huge inspiration for me. I mean, I have literally been watching her since, you know, wrestle since I was about 12 years old, and I'm in my 30s. So, to say that I've been watching LaFisto for 20 years is, it's not a over exaggeration. I've been following her for that long. And I've loved every minute of watching. I don't think there's very few matches that I have found of hers online or on tapes or DVDs growing up, that I haven't seen. And, the first time we were in contact and, she told me I was going to get a chance to work with her, you know, not just her company, but with her. I fangirled out. I'm not going to lie. I marked out. I was so excited. And I arrived so nervous. I arrived to the venue probably 6 hours before showtime. And it wasn't a short drive. It wasn't a long drive. It was about a 4.5-hour drive to get there. And I showed up before the people that came with the ring even got there.
Okay, so you're ready.
I was ready. I was nervous. I was ready. I was nervous. And so scared. I think I peed probably 40 times that day. I was so nervous. But she took really good care of me. She guided me along through that match. And I was still really green at the time, like really green at the time. So the fact that she was there for me was amazing. And, you know, we have this ongoing joke of in wrestling of your wrestling mom and your wrestling dad. And she is my wrestling mom. You know, I can contact her at any time to ask for an opinion on a spot or ask for an opinion on a drama situation or a certain federation situation or whatever, or even just a recommendation. If somebody asks for a resume, and you don't find a lot of people like that in this business that you can have your back like that. I have a couple, but she is definitely in my top five, and I love her to death. And I'm so sorry her career is having to end. At the same time, if you've been in the locker room with LaFisto over the last year, and you would know that she's all stubborn as hell, but she needs this. Maybe not step away from the business, but she needs to, she needs to calm down with the workings. She's broken herself in so many different ways that I think the world can appreciate what she's done without her continuing to kill herself over it.
Yeah, I guess that's about as good a way to put it as any. And it is a shame that she didn't get picked up by Impact or at least work the Classic, at the very least that. I don't know, I remember one of the wrestlers saying that to me about Mercedes Martinez, and that was probably 9 years ago. She said, it's a shame that no major company has picked that woman up. And I agree with that, and I certainly stand by it as it relates to LaFisto as well. It's a shame that did not occur.
Agreed. Luckily for Mercedes, she ended up getting her little spot, her little limelight in the Mae Young Classic.
She did. She got it. She got it on the tail end. She got her no full time spot, but she did get her spotlight.
And she's a great girl too. I love Mercedes. I got to work not with her, but on a couple of shows with her, and she's always great to be around too. But yes, I think that has been, a big draw on her, is the fact that she was just never able to quite top that plateau in terms of, getting with the top companies. But like I told her, I've sent her, a private message. I talked to her, and gave her my opinion on, how I felt about her retiring. Mm-hmm. And, one of the things I told her is, you may not have made, the WWE, you may not have made TNA Impact, or whatever the case may be. But what you have done for the business will leave a greater legacy than you making it to the big Fed and maybe just, having a couple of years of good shine, but then fading away and people not even remembering her name. What she has done for women's wrestling is amazing. She was a pioneer for women's wrestling. And I know that there were female wrestlers that were big before her, but 20 years ago, women's wrestling consisted of, Lawler saying puppies and, having, lingerie matches and tear the dress off your opponent matches and, just crap stuff like that, which was disrespectful and, it was just, to me, it was just a bunch of pervy stuff.
And it was bad timing, yes. She came into it at the wrong time.
Well, she came in, and what she was able to direct women's wrestling, not just her, many others, but she was a major factor, direct it from just those gimmick, look at me, I've got big tits, to we're athletes too, you know.
Yes,
and we can put on just as good of a show as the men can. It may not be as high hitting per se as a man's match is, but we can do it, and we can make it fun for everyone, and we can hold our own. And you know, now 2 years ago started, 3 years ago, whatever it has been at this point, time flies. We've got this women's revolution thing started, and I think people are finally getting behind women's wrestling. It's still not there yet. I have worked all women's shows, put on promotions that draw 300 to 400 people normally on a normal night.
Mm-hmm.
Worked all women's shows in which there are some really big name girls, ROH girls, TNA girls, WWE girls, and then bigger name indie girls. And you know, the show draws 50 people. So I don't think we're quite there yet, but we're getting there. And
yeah,
she played a major factor in that.
Yeah, it's still some hurdles to jump. That's clear. So I don't know what will be the next step. I know there is a trickle down. The WWE does stuff, and then thereby independents kind of follow suit. So, although I will say in the women's quote revolution thing, it actually happened in the reverse. The indies was doing this long before the WWE even came close to it. But but the WWE will shine a spotlight on it, and we'll see how that carries on from there. Sorry to have gotten it off track. I know we started talking about LaFisto there, and there was some stuff that needed to be said. But you know what we have to do here, because this is part of the segment of the show. Once I get through with asking the bulk of the questions that I have, go to a segment that I like to call Random Questions. And for you, Casey Dillon, it's not just simply random questions. It's Random Questions, Scary Movie Edition.
Okay.
So,
let's do it.
You are ready.
I am ready.
Here we go. Who was the original killer in the Friday the 13th series?
Jason Voorhees.
Incorrect. Mrs. Voorhees was the original killer. The mom. She was the first killer in the Friday the 13th movie. That was a low ball. That was a low. I thought you were looking at this.
My pop culture isn't always the best. I'm not going to lie.
It's all right. You know, we'll work with you a little bit. With the addition of the latest Halloween movie, the one that just released in 2018, tell me the lineage of the series now.
I couldn't even begin to. I haven't seen most of it at all. I think I saw the original Halloween.
Well, we'll say this, that with the addition of the one that just came out, all of the Halloween movies are now completely ignored except for the first one. It starts from number one, and then it jumps to 2018. Anything in between that, it skips. It doesn't acknowledge it at all.
It's probably a good thing. Most sequels suck anyway.
Well, you know, there's some fans out there. I'm about to, you know, not. I some of them I can give or take, you know, I can take it or leave it. This one I won't be upset if you don't get. In the movie Don't Breathe, the antagonist has a disability, although it does not stop him at all from terrorizing his guest. What is his disability?
I want to say I've seen this movie.
You probably have.
Is this the guy that has no face?
No.
Okay. I don't. You know, as much as I'm into horror, I'm really bad at this. you don't realize this. I'm bad at it.
Well, you know, we have to try to make these things fun, you know. But and I know somebody out there listening to this right now is just screaming at the at their podcast at MP3. He's blind. The guy
blind.
Yes, he's
blind. For those of you listening, I do apologize. I am ashamed at my lack of horror movie knowledge.
Well, it's fine. Now, see, now this one should be relatively easy. All you have to do is just name the ones that you know. There's no real wrong answer here. Name me two found footage horror movies.
Two found footage. I can do this one. The Blair Witch Project.
Yes.
And Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Did they do found footage in the massacre? Okay. I mean, there's a couple of them. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say that I've seen all of them. So I can't deny it. I don't know. But I also would accept the Paranormal Activity. And Record. And the first Cloverfield. I would accept those.
Okay. I did like those Paranormal Activities movies. Those are creepy.
See, I had gotten more into the marketing of those things than the actual movie at one point. I was like, this is brilliant. I don't know why, but I was so impressed with the marketing. I was like, this is great.
You know, they did so good in those movies. I love just like watching the scenes that are kind of boring. They're kind of stretched out for like 45 seconds a minute. And you're thinking something's going to happen, and then nothing happens. Mm-hmm. I like those scenes better, just because they feel like they keep you on your seat more.
You like the tension.
I do. I love the tension. I love the lead up to stuff more so than the actual outcome itself. I'm weird. Don't worry about me.
No, you're probably not weird. I know many of people that are probably falling into the same suit as what you're saying right now. What do we have here? Down to the next one. After watching the tape in the movie The Ring, how many days do you have left?
Ooh. I guess we'd be down to like, what, two at this point, right?
No, this is what is whispered to. I think they call you. I can't remember. They call you up and they tell you how many days after you watch the tape in the movie The Ring.
It was, I can't remember, I thought it was two. Is it three? It's not long.
No.
That little creepy thing starts crawling through the TV at you.
That's right, 7 days.
Seven days.
You got a week. Got a week to get your affairs in order before it comes for you.
Well, little girl creeps me out.
Well, don't think about it today. Or tonight. What happens at the end of the original Omen movie?
Now, this the Omen, that's Damien.
That is Damien.
The little devil child.
Yes, that is the little devil child. Now, I picked that one specifically for you because he is the prince of darkness. So I want to see how the princess of darkness answers it.
I can almost remember that his parents die and he's sent off to an orphanage. Am I right?
I'm going to say yes, because his father tries to kill him once he realizes that he is the spawn of Satan. But before he's able to do it, the cops shoot him. That's right. They don't know what he's doing, so they shoot him. And evil lives on.
Perfect. I'm one for like 25 at this point. Fantastic. we'll go with an army score. If I can make 70%, I'm good to go.
Well, how about this? We'll give you a bonus question here. You give me this one, then all others will be erased.
Okay.
Tell me the most disturbing movie that you've personally seen.
Ooh. Most disturbing. You know, it was a recent scary movie. It was one of The Conjuring. Mm. The Conjuring had me so creeped out. So me and one of my army friends, went to the theaters and watched it. And I don't, for a while there, for years, I quit going to the theaters. Just got too expensive. And it's not till recently I started even going back again. But we had to go watch that movie. And I was creeped out the whole time.
Really?
And I really, and I have watched The Conjuring 2 now. I have seen the other, side stories or prequels, that you, I guess you want to call them, with the Annabelle doll and stuff like that. And, like, all of them, like, all comes in together in one story eventually, from what I understand. And, yes, The Conjuring just creeps me out so much.
Hmm.
That little nun creepy demon thing, it'll get you.
Okay, see, that's fair. I could buy that. Now I will add in. Well, I don't know if I would say this is the most disturbing one I've seen, but I did have a date walk out on me over a movie. Now that is Event Horizon. I'll never forget that.
Huh.
She did not like that movie. Said she couldn't take it. Got up and walked right up out of that theater.
that's how you know. To me, that would be a successful day, because then, you know, you get to go home.
I think I was driving, so I wasn't like I was still thinking. But the point was, I had paid for two tickets to go see this thing, and she could not tolerate it. Just couldn't deal with it. Had to get up.
You know, on that same line, I will also say that growing up, I had watched the movie as a kid growing up, and it creeped me out for years. And even when I had watched it, I couldn't sleep for days. Of course, understand I was a kid. Mm-hmm. But Children of the Corn creeped me out. And I'm from the rural South in Alabama, and there was cornfields around all the time. And for some reason, you know, there was cornfields around where I played as a kid outside. And the thought of that demon creature thing coming through the cornfield and like sucking you into the ground, I was terrified for years. I saw it maybe when I was like 6 for the first time. And like, until I was like 10, I hated going out into the pastures. I hated it.
You know the problem with that was, you watched a horror movie when you were a kid and you traumatized yourself.
It was a different time.
You know, and I think almost everybody I know has one horror movie that they looked at as a kid that they just shouldn't have looked at, regardless how ridiculous it is or whatever the case in BC. For me, it was The Creepshow. I looked at that when I was a kid and it ruined me.
Yeah.
I couldn't even tolerate a zombie movie for like 10 years after that.
You gotta love the parents that allow you to watch scary movies as a kid. It's a different time, you know?
Well, like I said, they allowed me to.
Oh, yeah. We probably just did it.
That was one of those cases. Yeah, I was just up and like, the creep show. I can handle it. I'm big enough. And then, nope, couldn't handle it.
Yep. We punish ourselves for our own mistakes.
I did punish myself. I couldn't sleep. I was scared the zombies was going to get me. So there you have it. Look, you answered the last one. Bonus round. I don't have my trusty bell noise here, but I'll try to add that in. Ding, 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 ding. There you go.
There we go. I'm a winner like always.
Exactly. There you go. See, we added something on there that just kind of balanced that whole thing out. And I'll even give you another one here. You know, all horror movies don't necessarily work well. You know, sometimes we disagree with the content or the plot or whatever the case. It just doesn't seem to quite make sense to you. Have you ever had one that just didn't rub you the right way? It's like, huh? What's going on here?
I honestly want to say probably that's like 80% of scary movies. And I am one of those people, I love to have to think about things. I love when it comes to movies. Mm-hmm. I prefer a psychological thriller over, you know, a rom-com or a teenage comedy or even most horror movies. That's one of the reasons I love The Conjuring so much, was because it made me think Annabelle series that made you think. But one, a particular one that just like almost I just wanted to turn it off or get away from it instantly was, well, is anything to do with aliens, but you spoke of it earlier, is the Cloverfield movie. I don't find a lot of sci-fi entertaining to me. It just bores me to death. A lot of it does.
Mm-hmm.
So anything with aliens, I just want to turn, I want to turn it off. Another one too, which I don't know if you'd really call it so much a horror movie as much as maybe a drama, was the one where the, I can't remember the name of it right now. The Wind gets you. It's got Mark Wahlberg in it.
Oh, crap. Just as soon as you said that, and I thought of it, then it just left my mind. You're talking about where the trees, they kind of not come to life, but they emit something to make people want to kill themselves, right?
Yeah, yes, exactly.
That was the M. Night Shyamalan movie, which was ridiculous.
Really. His movies are so hit or miss with me, too. Like, I love The Sixth Sense, but I can't stand The Village. Like, he's so all over the place with his stories.
Well, you know, I think he probably could have done better if that movie was like 30 minutes.
I agree with that with a whole lot of horror movies.
If it was just like a half hour, it probably would have been tolerable. You probably would have been perfectly fine with it. It was just like, okay, all right, 30 minutes of that, fine. I could, but stretching it out for 90 minutes, yeah, there lies the problem.
Agree. I've never heard it put like that, but I 100% agree with it.
Well, you know, because look, I give him credit where it's due in that the movies that he's done, The Village and some other stuff, they could have been like a good Twilight Zone episode or you know, The Black Mirror or something like that. It could have been good in that context, but stretching it out for over an hour, yeah, that's when we started having a problem.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
No, you know, now I would have gone in the, I guess I don't want to say the other direction, but one series I've had some, can I say issues with? I guess yeah, we'll say that. The one series I had some a little bit of issue with was the Final Destination series.
Oh, really?
Well, not that it was entertaining, because now if I just walk into it and I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna sit down, I'm gonna watch this, and I'm not even gonna worry, I'm not even gonna think about anything that's going on here. I can take that movie for what it is, and I can be perfectly fine with it. But the idea that you've cheated death, and by the way, the movie that you're talking about is The Happening, I just remember. Okay, but the idea that you've cheated death, and death is petty enough that not only am I going to come back and kill you, but I'm going to kill you in the most elaborate way that I can possibly produce. That is where I'm like, why would death care?
Well, I'm gonna interject right here, and I'm gonna say something here.
Interject.
I am death. Casey Dillon is death.
Okay.
So the fact that every time I am cheated out of a victory, that's me. I want to come in there and I want to kill you in the most elaborate ways possible. So in terms of Final Destination, I understand death in that movie.
Oh, okay. So the fact that these people escape the plane isn't enough. So once they get out of it, then it's like, all right, now I'm going to make you go into the kitchen and you're going to turn on the stove, but your foot's going to get caught in the cord across the room as the stove inexplicably bursts into flames and then catch the lantern, which streaks across the hall to a gas tank which shoots out shards into your thigh, and then, you know, the cat eats the rat, you know, so on and so forth.
I have to entertain 6-year-olds. Give me a break.
Okay. Fair enough. You know, like I said, to each your own. That's just the one that didn't necessarily work for me.
I understand. Trust me,
although
I really
will
do.
Say that the last one tying in directly to the first one, I thought that was cool. I give them credit for that.
If you're going to end the series, you have to wrap it up and make it make sense.
It did wrap up well. I will give them that. That one I enjoyed.
Fantasy booking.
Finally, last thing here, fantasy bookings. Because I am of the belief that every wrestler has an angle, storyline, plot, if you will, that's kind of wrapped up in their brains that they can drop out onto a promoter at the drop of a dime. So, Casey Dillon, give me your fantasy booking. If you have one that's on file in there, do you have something that's in there that's like, okay, this is the storyline that I've been waiting to unleash onto the world?
Absolutely. So my storyline would actually be a fatal four-way, and it would be me versus Cesaro 7 versus Lefisto versus Renee Michelle. And, you know, even just fantasizing about this match just makes me happy. I feel that would be a 30-minute match at minimum. And there would be so much chaos, but good chaos going on in this match. You would see literally every type of wrestling that there is, every type of style pro wrestling there is. And you would see everything from submissions to big choke slams. And I feel that if we were to ever be, obviously it is a fantasy booking, it would never happen. There's not many indie promotions that would be able to afford to book this match. But I feel that I think it'd be a killer. I need to be one for the ages. And not tooting my own horn, I would almost have to sit back and watch. I'm a competitor in this match, and I'm still just watching this triple threat going on at this point. Like, I think those three in the ring together would just be killer. And then there I am in the background just chokeslamming people.
Fair enough.
And I would be content with that.
I would have booked you a little differently. Say that. I would have created the angle. Now you've already kind of self-professed just, you know, as the princess of darkness. Now, preceding you, the only other person I've known that had something similar was the Monstress of Hell. That was the Great Cheyenne. And I do believe she's kind of winding her tenure in the ring down. However, I think not a passing of the torch, but a match with a taking of the torch would be in order. If I had the book, I would have just started it off with Cheyenne, basically, you know, saying she ain't finished yet. We'll use the old Mark Henry line. I got a lot of gas left in the tank. not ready yet. But of course, as time moves on, Casey Dillon has to step in. It's like, if you're not going to hand me the torch, the keys to hell, then I'm going to take them. And a normal match just would not do. Cannot have that. Because this match has to signify the end of one or the other. It must be a casket match.
Oh, I'm damn so down with this. I wish we could make this reality. I love me a good casket match.
And that way, you know, she can do the honors, if you will, and pass it on to the next monster of the independent circuit, Casey Dillon.
You know, that's a true honor that you would even put me in that. So that to me, I will take that all day, every day.
Hey,
that's a true honor.
I wish, I don't even know if she's still working anymore. Honestly.
I couldn't tell you. It's been so long since I've seen anything from her.
Well, she was supposed to work in October, I think, at the BCW show in Berwyn, Illinois. Berwyn, Scott, whatever. You know what I'm talking about.
Right.
She was supposed to have been on that show. It's all women show, but she was one of maybe three people who couldn't make it. Cause I know Aja and Ravana couldn't get up there. Cheyenne had some problems, even though she was local to the area. I think she had some issues that took place that weekend, and maybe one other person that just couldn't get in. So, and I never checked. I should. I never checked with her to see if she's if she has officially stepped it down. I generally don't see a lot of wrestling based posts from her any longer.
Well, now you have a new goal to set out and find out if she's on Graces with her presence any longer.
Yes, I need to see that. You know, she's one of my favorite people. I need to check on her. Yes. That's what wrestling does. You have some people that you meet, and they're spread all across the country, so you got to catch them when you can catch them.
Absolutely.
And with that, I think we have wrapped this thing up, Casey.
Oh, no, we're over already? I bet the fans are like, thank God, they're done rambling about stupid things.
Yes, they probably are, but look, you know, hey, this is my contribution to the wrestling world, to help people get to know and understand new faces and new talents that come to their town on a, well, I'm going to say day-to-day basis. So, you know, this is the Women's Pro Wrestling Network's little contribution to that.
And I appreciate that. Thank you so much for having me on there. It's been a pleasure. And thank you, folks, for taking the time to listen. I mean, I'm not a Mickey James out there, so just the fact that you're willing to give me however long we've been on the phone, an hour and a half or so, thank you for giving me your time.
And yeah, absolutely. Do you want to share your social media for those who may not be familiar with you but want to follow you and your exploits?
Absolutely. You can find me on Facebook. Just search Casey Dillon. I am the very first one that pops up because I am the most fabulous anyway. You can find me on Twitter at, oh my God, Casey Dillon POD. You can also find me on Instagram at Princess of Darkness Casey Dillon. So there we have it. I only have the three. I don't do Snapchat, so please don't look for me. I don't like social media. So I do what I can. I like Facebook. I post random things on Facebook. Don't worry about that. But those are my three top that I use. And please add me, subscribe to me, whatever you want to call it. And I look forward to it.
Fantastic. And as for us, you can always go to Women's Pro Wrestling Network on Facebook. Just spell it all out. Women's Pro Wrestling Network on YouTube. And everything else is WPN Wrestling. It's WPN Wrestling for the website, WPN Wrestling for the Instagram, WPN Wrestling for Twitter. And if you really just want to be lazy, just go to the website. It's got pretty much the nexus for everything that happens, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, so on and so forth. And if you have questions and comments, please feel free to leave a comment below if you happen to be on YouTube. If you are not and you're listening to this podcast in MP3 format on Podbean, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, etc., and wherever you find your favorite podcast, then email me at MrGreen75@hotmail.com. And with that, I will close this out with saying that this is Mr. Green saying that this is Mr. Green saying, I will see you on the next go round.
Thank you for listening to the WPN's Rights and Wrongs of Pro Wrestling. If you have questions or comments, please contact us via our Facebook or our YouTube channel at the Women's Pro Wrestling Network. If you're new to the WPN, feel free to subscribe to our channel and like our page. We appreciate your support. Thank you again for listening.